Let's pray. Father, we're very mindful that this is your house. We are your people. You delight to lead us and guide us. Provide us with instruction and guidance as to the people you want us to be. Father, in the hearing of those words this morning from your word, I pray that our hearts have been touched. And as we examine further now what it is that you would say to us, we pray that our hearts be open to you. For you know us through and through. We delight in your love and your goodness. Speak to us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you believe that I stood here? Well, not really actually technically here because the house wasn't here, this church house. But just across the way there, on the 7th of February, 30 years ago, I stood up as the then new minister for Church of the Way. But it was in the garage of the church building that used to be where the Rafters building is now, today. And in preparation, I looked back in my files and I found some interesting papers. The very first report of Pastor Derek Chamberlain, who was the very first pastor here who initiated this church back in 1988. I found my first sermon that I delivered here on the 7th of February, 1993. And I found my first report to the church in 1993, of April 1993. I'd like to share a few thoughts initially. Firstly, Pastor Derek's report. Wednesday, the 26th of June, 1988, Derek and his wife Paula and their daughter Emma arrived at the new church house that sat over there to begin their ministry. On they arrived. Services were to be held in the double garage of the new church house as there were no church building. Julie and I continued that process until December 1994, when Bishop Hamish came and officially knocked on the door to officially open this church building in December 1994 for the first service. Derek's report suggests that on July 30th, 1988, seven people came from Christchurch, downtown Mandurah, to form a congregation with Derek and his family. Judy Rule remains with us today as a founding member. The task of Church of the Way, St. Garages as it was called then, was to evangelise the existing non-churched in Mandurah and to evangelise the incoming people of Mandurah. Church of the Way was not to be involved in the work already being done by Christchurch, that's the Anglican Church downtown, who were ministering in nursing homes and hospitals, craft groups, children's clubs, various organisations and committee. And nor was Church of the Way to embark on fundraising drives or in building programs, nor to sheep steal from down church. Rather, Church of the Way was to be busy building a people of God, or in New Testament terms, a church. At that time, it was commonly understood that people who found themselves at Church of the Way were those who felt called by God to be here. And I believe this has continued and it's still the very same today. As Derek began ministry, he said, "What am I to do?" And he felt God answer and say, "Well, pray and I will bring the people." And God did. People came. Derek asked God where it was all headed and he felt God answer via Ephesians 4. He believed that God said to him, "Until the church should come to such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different, or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, he says, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its share, its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and full of love. So the church was to be unified, to grow into maturity into Christ Jesus, and to continue in God's direction, each one doing their part in and through the love of Jesus. The bottom line, said Derek, is this: by this, the words of Jesus, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Derek suggested that God has shown that we must first love him and then love and trust one another. And it's not something you learn from a book, but something that is learned and known by actually doing it. It's a matter of us all taking part, no passengers, each using the gifts God has given us to build up the body. And as he said, no longer are these nice words. The question is, will we do it? He continued, are you happy here in the cozy garage at the time? Would you be unwilling to move or expand? Are you willing to share this ministry with others and risk losing the intimacy we now enjoy? Are you willing to reach out and hug the drug addict, the drunk, the pregnant teenager, the prostitute, as eagerly as you do with each other now? All this is from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the costly ministry God has called us into, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I do recall the move from the cozy garage into this building, and at the time there were similar number to what we are now, but we felt as though we were in this massive, great place and wanted all this room around us. But we got used to it. Eventually we got so used to it that the place filled up and we had to go to two services. That was some time back. As you can see, several things are different. Several practical changes have happened. No longer do we have the garage church, and in fact, no longer do we have the church house. As I said, we have this church building. We have a community centre, essentially, with rafters. Primarily, however, and this is the point I want to make very clear, the very first plan for Church of the Way has never altered. Jesus was to be the number one focus, first and foremost, because this is his church. He was then number one, and he still is today. Much water has gone under the bridge since then. The very first challenge I was given by then Bishop Hamish in February 93, 30 years ago, was to bring Church of the Way into viability, because until that point, the church was just an experiment, church in a garage. But within 2 years, praise God, December 94, we celebrated the very first service in this building. And God did an amazing thing at that time. Some of you may know about it. He brought to us a Polish heiress, Katja Fredericks, and the then richest man in WA to help pay for this building. That's a story in itself. The richest man was Bill Wiley. I did a funeral for his stepmum, and out of that came an interest, a novel interest. He thought we're meeting in a garage, so he came to have a look at the garage. At that time, we had a thermometer thing on the wall of fundraising. We'd raised $10,000. And he said to me, you know what I'd like to do? He said, I'd like to match that. I picked myself up on the floor, and he said to me again, and he said, Andy, said, I would like to match you dollar for dollar for the rest of the money for the building, which was pretty extraordinary. Katja Fredericks, a Polish lady. Her family were very rich through the war, but lost a lot of their money, but then money came back to them, and she then paid off the remaining debt of this building. So within a very short time, we were debt-free. Just saw God's hand. But one thing remains the same. Church of the Way is still God's church and still in the work of knowing Christ in order to make him known. And you may know that that's a caption on our newsletter every week. And it's been our intent from the very beginning, right from Derek's time, right through, and has continued to remain as the focus of this church. Today's theme is very much in keeping with the common practice of Church of the Way over these past 35 years. And Steve read to you the sentence this morning, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." God is looking for those who will honour him fully in the way that they live their lives. So nothing has changed. In my very first sermon here 30 years ago, I shared the following from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. "I, brethren, do not come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I come among you in fear, in weakness and trembling, and my speech and my preaching are not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And Paul declared he has no basis for self-glorification. He only wanted to focus on Jesus and his glory, and that was exactly my focus those 30 years ago. I said, "People, I want to say to you today, I come with the exact same principles as Paul to be among you. My only desire is that Church of the Way become widely known for its reliance upon Jesus as rightful head of this, his church. And I will do everything I am able in the strength and power of God to bring that about. I'll be fiercely protective about unity and very strong against disunity, because the body of Christ is not divided and cannot be divided. Christ is not divided against himself." So division only comes about through man's doing. "I don't come with fancy words of human wisdom, but I come with a strong conviction that what we and the world needs is the saving power and love of Jesus Christ. I want Church of the Way to be well known for its accepting love and compassion, motivated by the very love of Jesus for each one of us. I stand before you today and I repeat those same words with the same conviction as I did 30 years ago, but also encouraged by the fact that Church of the Way is in fact a place where these things are very evident. Jesus is head and focus of this, his church. It is by and through his love that this church is known for its loving care, compassion and acceptance. It's like an extended loving family. And everybody who is familiar with Church of the Way and its ethos will repeat the same thing. It's a place where people love to be because those here do in fact know Christ and delight to make him known. In our prayer of the day, we are reminded that putting God first in all things is a priority. Almighty God, you gave the law to guide our lives. Grant that we may never shrink from your commandments, but as we are taught by your Spirit, may fulfill your law in perfect love. Through Christ our Lord and Master, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. He is looking for those who will follow him and follow his laws and commandments, those who will be guided by the Holy Spirit, and those who will fulfill all through the Spirit of love, which he places in the hearts of those who willingly follow and obey him. And in our first reading today, this is laid out very clearly. As Moses says to the people of Israel, so God says to us today, all these years later, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. Our God never changes. What was good for the people of Israel all those years ago is still good for us today. And we do well to follow his instructions. The psalm writer follows along a similar theme, Psalm 119, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him again with their whole heart. Our God looks for those who will love him with all their hearts. Couldn't help but think this morning as the readings were being read, as I was listening to them again, God knows us. We're 40 or 50 people here this morning. How well do we know one another? We've got somebody who knows us absolutely. Even every thought that we have. Even the number of hairs we have on our heads. God knows us through and through. There is no place for pretense. We can pretend in front of others, but we certainly can't pretend in front of God. We are totally naked and bare, as it were, totally, always, before the Lord. And that's a sobering thing for us to remember. So what it really means to love God with all of our heart is that we will not do what is right because it's right, but because our hearts tell us that it is the right thing to do. It's because we are motivated by the love that he has within us and placed within us. Jesus himself says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Too often problems arise in churches because of the immaturity of its people. It happens because rather than do what God wants, man is busy doing his own thing. What does it really mean that we love God with our whole heart? Well, Jesus seems to be facing this challenge in the readings today. The Ten Commandments are fundamental to Christian morality. However, it seems that he is challenging the popular attitude and interpretation of those laws. His main concern seems to be the fact that the scribes and the Pharisees are working their way around the fundamental holiness which the whole law demands. God knows us totally. We can't hand over just part of our lives and not the whole, because he knows it. He wants us to love him with our whole heart. The law of God is the divinely revealed way of life, as in the old covenant, the kingdom of God which Jesus came to initiate and fulfill. There is no new law of Jesus, only the old one carried forward in its spirit and intention. Man's task in following Christ is to have virtue deeper than those who say they live by the law. As I said earlier on, it's not a matter of just doing right, but doing right because it's the right thing to do. The law of Moses is lived by Jesus, not by the Pharisees. The law is God's word. The law is God's wisdom, God's presence. And so is his chosen preparation for the true law to come. Only as Jesus teaches are we to follow. And that makes sense because it's his church. What we say and what we do must come from our hearts. This is what Jesus means when he speaks of anger and lust in our hearts, and of our yes meaning yes and our no meaning no. The choice essentially is life or death, right or wrong. We can't be in between. It's either one or the other. Man will do his best to work his way around things. And sadly, so often it's the same with us Christians. We can say we are following Jesus, but the acid test is whether we are actually doing so from our hearts. My encouragement for you today is to read the scriptures, especially the Gospels and the words of Jesus. Continuously he talks about where is your heart placed. Jesus points out the fact that it's not so much the act of what is being done, but the attitude which is held in the doing of it. We may be seen to be doing the right thing, but not doing so from our hearts. And examine that for a moment and think upon that. We can be seen to be doing the right thing, but not so from our hearts. Jesus says we are to let our yes be yes and our no be no. no in between, no pretense, but real. And you and I are clever enough to know when we are being true. Our hearts tell us. So it's easier to say one thing and to do another. Men so often look upon the outward appearance, but God always knows what is in our heart. We cannot hide from him, so why try? So let's pray. Father, your word is very clear. You are very clear. You want us to love you with our whole heart, with every part of our being, not keeping stuff in reserve, but going all out and totally giving over to you in every single thing. So, Father, I pray today, where you may have jolted us about how we are living, each one of us, where there are things that we may need to clarify, to clear up, to make right, Lord, that you would help us to do that out of love for you. Let that be our motivating factor. God so loved the world that he gave. Lord, the greatest gift ever given is your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you did so because of the love that you have for us, in the desire that we would love you back in response. And so, Father, we commit ourselves this morning to you. And we pray that you'd help us, Father, as we continue to walk forward hand in hand with you. We thank you that you have sent to us your Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to show us the way. And so, Father, we would make a fresh decision today to give over to you every single part of our lives, not holding anything back in reserve, because we truly want to love you with everything we have. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. And once again, we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.